You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. A decision was made over the weekend to extend the closure of Yosemite National Park and Wawona. That's at least through this Friday. Smoke from the nearby Ferguson fire continues to impact air quality and visibility in the valley. We have Scott Gedeman from Yosemite's National Park Service on the phone with us for an update. Ranger Gedeman, I'm so glad you could join us today. Thanks for taking a little bit of your time for Insight.
Thank you, Beth. Nice to talk to you.
Tell me about the situation down there in the valley and the latest that you know about the firefight.
Right now, Yosemite Valley remains closed. As you mentioned in the lead-in, we were hoping to open the valley, and with the continuing smoke, it's not helpful for people to be down here. So we've extended the closure till this Friday for Yosemite Valley and the Wawona area. Highway 41 remains closed, the south entrance due to firefighting operations. So as of today for this week, here in Yosemite National Park, we have Tuolumne Meadows is open, basically the northern part of the park. Tuolumne Meadows, Tioga Road, Hetch Hetchy, all of those remain open, and we're looking to get Yosemite Valley reopened by this Friday afternoon. But, of course, it just depends on fire activity and smoke conditions throughout the week.
Scott, I know you've been in the valley. Can you give me a description of what it's like there now?
Sure. It's an interesting situation because right now in the valley it's very quiet. There's some employees around, and it's one of those things where we've got the restaurants are closed, the gift shops are closed, all of the ranger programs are done. So for me, having been a ranger here for over 20 years now, and we've had some valley closures, but something like this, the extended closure, it's just certainly doesn't seem normal, quote unquote normal. As folks know, we're in the heart of the busy summer visitor season. So normally we'd have full campgrounds, the lodging would be full, just a lot of people, a lot of activity. And so for me to be here in Yosemite Valley right now and not hearing a word, the only sounds I hear are the animals. And so although it's nice on the one hand, nice and quiet, it's a little surreal, if you will.
Is this the quietest it gets? Can you give me any context for how it is right now?
Sure. Oh, it's just real quiet, as I mentioned. Very, very few vehicles. But I heard a noise this morning, and it was a couple of on trees, kind of a banging, and it was two acorn woodpeckers that were on outside doing their thing on a tree. So we always see a lot of animals, and so it's just we're seeing more of the animals are out, and it's just a real quiet scene. The smoke is not too bad. The pattern that we've seen throughout this fire is decent air quality in the morning, late morning. It kind of gets socked in. We've had really, really poor air quality the last few days, worse than it's been here in Yosemite Valley, and it stays that way throughout the day and lifts a little bit at night. But you can look up, and from my office, I like to tell friends that I can normally see Yosemite Falls, and I can't see it, and I have not been able to see Half Dome for several days now.
How close is the closest point of the Ferguson fire to the perimeter of the park?
The fire is within about between a mile and 2 miles in a couple of different areas. One area is near the El Portal area on Highway 140. Highway 140 remains closed from Mariposa, so it's encroaching near the park on the Highway 140 area. And the other area that it's within a couple of miles is near the Yosemite West Chinkapin area. For folks that remember Highway 41, the road that goes up to Glacier Point, right at that junction, which is Highway 41, just to the west of that, which is Forest Service land, the fire is getting closer. And I'm not sure exactly where it is at that point, but El Portal, it's within a mile of the park.
Well, I know that you're working with Mariposa County officials, the U.S. Forest Service, CAL FIRE's a partner. There are a number of other agencies involved. And somehow, collectively, Friday became the next checkpoint. What's your sense, Scott, of how much you'll be able to hold to Friday based on how things look today?
Well, I think we just have to see it day by day. It's certainly a very difficult situation for us. As folks may have heard, a firefighter lost his life yesterday, right near the park boundary. He was a firefighter from Sequoia Kings Canyon National Park, a fellow National Park Service employee. So it was a tragic situation yesterday, and everyone is still reeling from that, and of course with the situation up at the car fire. So it's really difficult, and so for us it's a question of looking at the smoke. We certainly understand that people have had trips planned to Yosemite for months, if not years, and so what we're doing is when we announced the closure, for example, for this Friday, we've canceled all of the reservations up to Thursday night for folks that have campsite reservations, for example, or lodging reservations, and then if we are able to get back open on Friday, then we'll start allowing visitors in. So right now, that this is California Team 4, and I want to be very clear, as you mentioned, that they are doing an amazing job. We've got the best of the best. We've got folks from CAL FIRE, the U.S. Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, Mariposa County Sheriff, Madera County Sheriff, an incredible unified command. And so we have the utmost confidence in this team on their firefighting efforts. But I also know, having lived here for a long time, that the men and women out there on the front line, we've got areas that have never seen fire. We've got steep, rugged terrain. We've got hillsides that that folks can't get into by car. That's why, in fact, these hotshot crews, where the firefighter lost his life yesterday, these people are hiking in and they're risking their lives. And so we have utmost confidence in the team. But again, with the weather and the tough terrain and the fact that a lot of these areas have not seen fire, it's really taking a lot of resources, both physical resources and also everything from the mapping to the use of all kinds of technology to fight this fire. It's a full suppression fire, meaning the efforts are clearly to extinguish the fire as soon as possible. But with the now with two firefighters that have lost their lives, it's a tragic situation for that, and we are just very, very grateful to all of the men and women who are on the fire line, and also for the incident management team, because as I said, they have been wonderful. The cooperation is the best I've ever seen in almost 30 years of doing this kind of work.
There will be a media briefing to honor Captain Brian Hughes, whom you're talking about, the member of that hotshot team, and that's going to happen later this morning at the Wasuma Elementary School in Ahwahnee. And that will bring together the unified commanders from Team 4, Sequoia, and Kings Canyon National Parks. And the loss of any life on a fire is tragic, and I know this has been very difficult for everybody in the area of the Ferguson fires with the two deaths. So thank you, Scott, for your update. Information continues safety to everybody there.
Thank you, and thank you for your thoughts, and thank you for the listeners expressing concern. We know that this is a situation not just around here in Yosemite, but all around California and the West. So we appreciate everybody's concern and understanding, and we will get through this.
All right, that is Ranger Scott Gettiman from Yosemite National Park. And again, reservations have been canceled. The park is closed, including Wawona, at least through Thursday. And I'm sure before then we'll get an update on what happens after that time. Now on the line is Jeff Parker. And Jeff is the general manager of KZYX in Mendocino. We're going to shift gears and talk about the Mendocino Complex fires. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for joining us again on Insight.
Good morning, Beth. Great to be here.
So this was another unexpected fire situation. You had the ranch fire and the river fire. What evolved over the weekend?
Yeah, it's really interesting. This is focusing primarily on Lake County and then the southeastern extreme of Mendocino County. Both of these fires started about midday on Friday, the first in Hopland, which is right on the border between Sonoma County and Mendocino County along Highway 101. And because of wind conditions, this fire was kind of east of the town of Hopland and started moving towards Lake County along Highway 175. So, and then the other fire, the ranch fire, started sort of between Lake County and Mendocino County in near the community of Potter Valley, which was hit so hard in the October 9th fire last year. So we had two fires that were kind of moving slowly, very small on Friday, got pretty big through the evening. We had a massive countywide power outage on Friday evening that probably was fire related, but we haven't had an explanation. But what's really interesting about this is that Lake County is it's a really big county. It has the largest freshwater lake in the state, right in the middle of it. It's not as big as Lake Tahoe, but it's the one that's all inside of the state. There are only four or five roads that lead into Lake County. So you have Highway 20 coming down from Ukiah into Lake County, and then 175 coming from Hopland. And these fires were burning along the valleys that contain those roads. And you can imagine it just didn't take too long before those roads were closed. So the two exits from the county, from Lake County, to the northwest and to the southwest towards Mendocino and Sonoma counties were closed off. These are burning in extremely rugged areas, largely, I won't say unpopulated, but very, very sparsely populated with very large ranches and some small ranches, 100 acres, 50 acres, 25 acres, that sort of thing, but some in the thousands. Rugged, very mountainous. These two fires are on either side of something called Cow Mountain. And then Clear Lake is directly to the east of that. So you can kind of imagine this. These two fires are burning, one from the northwest and one from the southwest towards Lake County. Well, what was really remarkable last night, the suppression efforts have been going on intensively through the weekend, but in a flurry, just a cascade of mandatory evacuations were ordered sort of towards the late part of yesterday afternoon. First, it was Upper Lake, which is closest to Mendocino County. Now, these aren't large, but they're towns with you know, city governments and all of that, several thousand people. Then Lakeport. Lakeport, I believe, is the county seat of Lake County. Mandatory evacuation for the entire town. It's right on the lake. And then the next one was Nice, which is at the north end of Clear Lake. So cascading mandatory evacuations of every town in western Lake County. From the outside, you know, the populations are very small. These are maybe 30,000, 40,000 people compared to, you know, the state of California, which
right.
is a thousand times that. But for these little communities, which have only one or two roads leading out, these are extraordinary evacuations.
Well, in fact, Jeff, we're about to get an update on that fire from Cal Fire. So I thank you for setting the scene and helping us know. I feel like I have a really good visual about how this evolved over the weekend. Continued safety, and we'll check in with you again up there.
I'm happy to do it. Thank you.
That is Jeff Parker. He's the executive director and general manager of KZYX and Mendocino County Public Broadcasting. On the phone is Cal Fire Chief Mike Moeller. He is Cal Fire's deputy director of communications. Chief, thanks again for making time for us.
As always, thank you for having us.
I think you heard Jeff Parker's description of how the Mendocino complex had evolved. Tell me about that firefight right now.
No, absolutely. That was a great description. In fact, myself and Cal Fire Chief Ken Pemlott spent the day at both the river and the ranch yesterday. Explosive, extreme fire growth. Unfortunately, we're probably going to see that again today. The river fire standing over 35,000 acres, the ranch fires over 20,000 acres. There's a lot of work to be done.
On each of those, I'm seeing just 5% containment on your website. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Unfortunately, in those areas, again, very steep, difficult terrain. They're covering a large footprint, but yes, that is correct, the 5%.
How are you able to fight that fire? Are you using air power and retardant?
Absolutely. In addition to our ground crews, we have brought in not only additional fixed wing or air tankers, but also have requested additional helicopters to assist the ground troops in the firefight.
So we're in the midst of all those evacuations that Jeff was describing. Are there more to come? Do you have most people moved out at this point?
at this point, and again, as you will know and your listeners know, the fires are very dynamic. It's a very fluid situation. Our advice to the public is if you're in any area close to either the river or the ranch and you have not been evacuated, please listen for any type of advisory or warning. And if asked to leave, please do so early. We continue to say this because not only for your safety, but also so we can get our first responders in there to protect your property.
Okay, one more question about the river and ranch. What direction are those fires moving now? Because I know we've had wind changes through the last couple days.
It is. And right now, I haven't been out there this morning, but, as far as direction, we're looking at what the wind is going to do this morning. I haven't been in touch with the incident commander, but we just on both of those fires yesterday, within a 6-hour period, we had 11 different wind shifts. So, again, makes it very difficult for the firefighters.
Let's move to the Carr Fire in Shasta and now Trinity counties. Is it moving away today still from the city of Redding? It seemed that you've been able to push that fire in a different direction.
That's exactly right. Not only have firefighters, and again, that fire is over 98,000 acres, but not only have firefighters done just amazing work out there, including with our law enforcement partners, but the fire is moving away from the city of Redding. Our only concern right now is, again, the winds that seem to surface in the late afternoon, and then we were still seeing what we consider long-range spotting, meaning that embers are being thrown from the main front of the fire up to a mile ahead of it. So, again, additional resources are on that, and firefighters are doing their best to increase that containment, which now stands at about 20%.
So does that mean you're getting a grip on this? It's just moved from 17% containment as of last night up to 20. It'd be real easy to read some big encouragement into those numbers.
No, it is. And the best word for us is we're cautiously optimistic. You know, not only are we battling the fire, but we're also battling Mother Nature, which really dictates our type of operations. We are increasing anytime that number goes up. You have to remember, though, that this is almost 100,000 acre fire. So when we say 20%, that's a very minimal portion of that fire, meaning that the remainder of the fire still has a lot of what we consider open lines. So, again, cautiously optimistic, additional resources, both ground and air, and hopefully firefighters and Mother Nature cooperates with us and we get that containment number up.
On the Carr Fire, more than 1,000 structures burned. Unfortunately, that includes, I think, more than 650 homes. So what structures are threatened at this point? What area are you most concerned about?
Well, there's several areas all the way from Old Shasta, Keswick area, Victoria Highlands. There's Whiskey Town, Whiskey Creek, French Gulch, Summit City, Stafford Hills, Mary Lake, White Hawk, through county estates, and even the Shasta Dam Visitor Center. Those are still areas that may not see active flames, but there is open fire line around those areas. So, again, a wind shift could really change the firefight, but we still have a lot of areas of concern as far as what we could see if possible wind shifts move those into those neighborhoods.
Okay, let me get a quick comment from you on the Steel Fire in Napa County. That containment is much higher now.
Yes, the Steel Fire, which we had a lot of success on, right now we're at 135 acres. We have 75% containment, which, again, the weather cooperated. Crews were able to get ahead of that. So, unfortunately, we did have 8 structures destroyed on that. But we're happy to report that all evacuation orders have been lifted.
And finally, I don't know if you were on the line when I was talking to Ranger Scott Gettiman from Yosemite, but he was talking about the Ferguson Fire. Obviously, they're all feeling the loss of another firefighter over the weekend. Has there been much of an air fight yesterday and then into today because of the smoky conditions? Can you get the helicopters up?
We can, but again, and that's a great point, Beth. It, not only over the Ferguson, but all of the fires, when we have a thick smoke layer, it's very hard for pilots and aviation assets to access the fire. What we're seeing, though, is early afternoons, we're getting that lift and pushing aircraft as quickly and as safely as possible to assist the ground operations.
All right. Well, it's been a Herculean effort, and I thank you again for making time for us and our best wishes for continued safety out there on the lines, Chief.
Thank you, Beth. And again, from on behalf of CAL FIRE, our thoughts and prayers are with the National Park Service firefighter and his family.
That is CAL FIRE Chief Mike Moeller, and you can find continuing coverage and links to the CAL FIRE incident page at capradio.org. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio.